thank you so much, gentlemen. I like to hear men sing. I do. I enjoy that. I enjoy hearing ladies sing too, but I'm going to preach a message tonight from Nehemiah. And you kind of come up with different titles, but you can't know where you're going until you know how you got here. And that's kind of where we're going to be at tonight. But so you come as we look at that tonight. The writer there goes back to look back at a bit of the history of Israel. And we're going to kind of trace through that a bit tonight. And so you be here for that. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to continue on looking at some of our heroes by faith. Let me start with verse 1, read down through verse 7. We're going to look at Noah tonight, this morning, but we'll start with verse 1 and read down through verse 7. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before he had his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." By faith, Noah. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we thank you for it. Thank you as we consider these great men and women of faith we find detailed here in Hebrews chapter 11, Lord, that we would look at them not just as interesting historical figures, but look at how you worked in their life, how they surrendered to you, and how by faith you accomplished some great things. Lord, we ask your blessing now as we consider your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. By faith. By faith, Noah. Noah is one of the individuals that the skeptics like to point their finger at. And say, it didn't really happen. There wasn't really a worldwide flood. And how did he get all those animals into that boat? And how'd they survive? And how did that happen? And was there really, you know, and they go on and casting all those questions. But we know historically from the Word of God, the worldwide flood is a fact. We know from geology that the worldwide flood is a fact. We know from the traditions that have been handed down from generations that in almost every culture there is a tradition of a worldwide flood. But here we find that the central figure of that in verse 7, by faith, Noah. A couple verses in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he talks about that a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, he speaks of it again. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." We find here that if we go back to Genesis chapter 6, if you would with me, please, we'll spend most of our time back there. And consider what happened back there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We see here, this Genesis chapter 6, the first time flies, if you will, in these first six chapters of the book of Genesis. For Genesis chapter 6 begins about 1,500 years after creation. There's been a long time span. The population has grown, has spread out through the known world at that time. And there was a large population. People were living to extremely long ages. 800 years was a norm to live. And others were living to 900 and even Methuselah 969 years. And man spread out across the world, and it's interesting that so very quickly, but not quickly because it's 1,500 years, that mankind turned away from the God that created them. Now, I want you to think about this, about the long lives. Because if we look at this scripture, we understand and look at the timelines of it, that Adam lived more than 900 years. Methuselah was born before Adam died. And of course, Methuselah died after Noah was born. So it was very reasonable to believe that there are people that knew Adam that related that account to Noah. Only one generation separated them. But in that time, even though we have the testimony in Genesis of the creation of man, and then the testimony of the serpent that came down and beguiled Eve, and that Adam and Eve sinned and took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and sinned, and God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they hid themselves, and then God came and met them in the garden in the cool of the day, and God made them coverings of skins, that without the shedding of blood is no remission for sin. He made them coverings, and God promised them that a Messiah would come. God promised them that there would be one who would shed his blood to pay for their sin. But man quickly turned away. God saw the wickedness was great. Verse 8, I like those first two words. Look at verse 8. But Noah. That word but. The word but tells us that everything you've heard before, that all that took place, but in the midst of that, there was a man named Noah. But in the midst of the wickedness of man's thought being only evil continually, you know, it's sad to say, but if you look at the world today, we see much the same thing, don't we? We look about and see the things that go on in the Middle East, and the things that go on in North America, and let's bring it a little closer, the things that go on here in Newfoundland. The thought of man's heart is evil continually. But Noah found grace. Noah found grace. Another portion of scripture tells us the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the world. In the midst of a crooked, a perverse, a wicked generation, God saw Noah. God saw his... You know, we too often think that God only focuses on the bad things. But God beholds the good and the evil. Noah found grace. In verses 14 down through verse 21, we get the instructions for building and supplying the ark. What a great project. I like building projects. I like building things. But what a great project. We know that it probably took someplace right around 100 years to build the ark. Now, we don't know the whole construction. God doesn't give us a lot of details about the construction, about how, if it was just Noah and his three sons building, or if they hired people from the community to come in to help them to build. But the Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That Noah not only built, he preached. That Noah not only built, he told the people that came, maybe looking out of curiosity at this big monstrosity that was being built in the middle where there was no water. They'd never heard of rain. They'd never heard, certainly, of a flood. I'm sure some mocked. Some made fun. But Noah continued to be faithful. Verse 22 of Genesis chapter 6 said, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Wouldn't that be great if the Lord could say that of us? That thus, and put our name in there, did according to all that the Lord commanded. We didn't leave anything out. About 1,656 years after creation, Noah and his family went in the ark. And they were in there about 370 days. Just a bit more than a year. Of course, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and the fountains of the deep were broken up, and water came and covered the top of the highest mountains. And then the water slowly began to subside. I don't know how I'd do it being in a boat closed up for 370 days. I like boats. I do. I even like Marine Atlantic's ferries. I one time took the long ferry going over to Argentia from North Sydney. It took, they said it was 14 hours. I think it was 14 days because it seemed like it went on forever. Mrs. Holm and I got stuck in the ice one time with the ferries. That's another story for another time. That was kind of exciting. But can you imagine being inside? It was a big boat. Talk about that a little bit later. For 370 days. Hebrews 11 verse 7 again says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of God by faith." The first thing we want to note is Noah was warned by God. Noah was warned. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7, the Lord said, "I will destroy man. It repenteth me." He was warned about the sinful condition of man. If we can look across the world and look across our country, our province, and our community, and not see the dangers of the sinful condition of man, then we have some blinders on. I try to stay away from politics as much as I can, but when we hear some of the things that our federal government is trying to do in these days, sinful, ungodly things, amen, it should grieve our heart. It should grieve our heart that a recommendation to our federal government says that they're going to assist a child in suicide. Where have we come to? Noah was warned by God of the sinful condition of man. But he was warned about God's attitude towards sin. The end of verse 6, it says, "It grieved him at his heart." God's attitude towards sin. I'm afraid we often make light of sin. We make light of drug abuse and alcohol abuse. We make light of immorality. We make light of criminal behavior. I'm afraid often that the comedy of today revolves around those subjects and immorality. That it's a joke, but it grieves God to his heart. God's heart is grieved. God's heart is broken. But Noah was warned about God's penalty for sin. In verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy. God's penalty for sin. God told Adam and Eve, there was no question about this. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They ate of the fruit, and they did not physically die immediately, but spiritually they died. Spiritually, there was a separation between them and God, because God is holy and God is righteous, and God cannot be in the presence of sin. And they sinned, they disobeyed God, they turned away from God in their own selfishness and rebellion. And God says, there's a separation, because that's what death is, isn't it? It's separation. One day, if the Lord tarries his coming, we all will die. We will be separated from this life unto the life to come. But there is spiritual death. Someone who has never trusted Christ as their Savior is not spiritually alive. The Bible says they're dead in their trespasses and sins. And that in order to become alive again, they must come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But Noah was warned of God. He said, the wickedness of man was great. He was warned about his, God warned him about his attitude and the penalty. But I want you to notice that Noah had a relationship with God. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He had a relationship. Why? Because Noah, first of all, was a saved man looking forward to the Savior who would come. Noah was a man who walked in his integrity with God. We look at verse 9 in Genesis chapter 6. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. We look back, and just last week we looked at Enoch, that Enoch walked with God. And now we see Noah follows in his pattern. That Noah walks with God. And we see the interesting parallel there, that Enoch walked with God and was not, and God miraculously took him out of the world. Noah walked with God, and God did not take him out of the world, but God transformed the world around him through the great flood. Noah listened to God. Chapter 6 and verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. It's interesting, and it depends on how you look at that preposition with. And this is either saying, God saying, I will destroy them along with the earth as I destroy it with water, or I will destroy them with the agency of the earth as the earth floods itself, the earth that they had so given their life to, and the earth that they so enjoyed, the earth that they've given themselves to earthly things, that the earth itself is going to rise up and destroy them. The Bible tells us that the world today, even today, groans. The physical universe that God created groans because of sin. Noah listened to God. And we see that God trusted Noah with some important instructions. We won't take time to read from verse 14 on down through verse 22. But God gives him the instructions. He details to him the ark, the size, how it's to be built, how to make it watertight. The decks, the doors, the window, everything. He trusted Noah with important instructions. You see, God looks to us and God says, you have something to build. We're not building buildings, but building something that's so much more important than buildings. Mm-hmm. Building lives. Mm-hmm. I preached a number of times a message from Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 28, where David gives a commission to Solomon. And he tells Solomon that God has chosen you to build for him. Of course, he's talking about building the temple there. But I think there's much more than that involved. Noah built for God. An ark, you look at the instructions there. A massive structure. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. I did some calculation and it's rough, but do you know this auditorium would probably fit in the ark between 40 and 50 times. It was a big boat. Can you imagine building a boat that size when you've never built a boat before? You've never seen a boat before? You've never seen a flood before? And you're building a boat. Probably a big flat bottom kind of raft kind of thing, more of a barge kind of thing than a boat with a V hull in it, but a big massive structure. He spent about 100 years in its construction. Waking up every morning. Mrs. Noah said, what are you doing today? Going to build a boat. Next morning she got up, he gets up. What are you doing today? Going to build a boat. Come on, boys. Get up. I don't know if they were teenagers when he started or not. Get teenagers out of bed in the morning, go build a boat, might not have been an easy task. Going to build a boat. Week after week, month after month, year after year. You know, I like people that are consistent. I like people that know what's right to do. And say, you know what, we're just going to keep on doing it. Day after day, week after week, month after month. Year after year. Not making a big show of it. Not trying to draw a lot of attention to himself, although the boat probably did that. But just being faithful day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You talk about building here, you know, I often look at this building in amazement. I think of the men that God used to faithfully build this building. I don't know, did it take, Brother George, did it take 3 years to build this? 3 years. I don't think you probably saw your husband much for 3 years, did you?
No. Well, I didn't.
No, Flo Stanford. Mr. Hansen. Who else was around then? Mr. King was around then. Who else was around then when you're building it? Yeah. There, yeah. You were just a young pup then.
That's why I was on the fire.
But you know, I'm sure you got tired. I'm sure you looked after, you know, Brother George going, working all day, fixing cars, and then going to the church at night, working on Saturdays.
Church.
A church, come to church on Sunday. But you know what? We have this today because those men, their wives, their children were faithful men. Day after day, week after month, month after month, year after year. God said, make the ark of gopher wood. I'm not even sure what gopher wood is. Room shall thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know, the point is not here that it took 100 years to build the boat. The point is that Noah was faithful from the time he was commissioned to the task until the task was done. And folks, we have to understand that we have individually and corporately been commissioned to a task, going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God calls upon us to be faithful to the task Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until the task is finished. When is the task finished? When we're called home.
That's right.
That's when we're finished. You see, there's not really retirement in the work of the Lord.
That's true.
There might be repurposing. But there's not. You know, we all are busy about the task. Build for eternity, not just for time. Noah saw his family saved. He says, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. They were saved from the flood, yes. But they were saved for eternity as well. Because they saw a faithful pattern in their father. Because of his faith, because of obedience, because of his labor, Noah saw his family saved. But then we see as well that Noah saw the world destroyed. I can imagine as the storm broke, as the waters descended from heaven, probably rain heavier than we have ever seen. The fountains of the deep were broken up, and literally the if we get to understand it right, the geology of the world began to change as continents began to shift and drift as the water came out from below the ground. How heartbreaking it was to Noah. Because God closed the door and he couldn't open it. Those that mocked and made fun, I'm sure many of them were banging on the ark and pleading. But it was too late. You see, God has a timetable. And God says that it's appointed on man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, we don't have a flood coming, I don't think. I wondered yesterday for just a little bit. But we all have an appointed time. And one day, it'll be over. You see, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. In the Bible, it tells us that this rich man ate sumptuously every day. He had everything going for him. He had money, wealth, position, friends, everything. And he died. And it said he lifted up his eyes in hell being in torment. He said, just a drop of water to cool my tongue. Well, if you can't do that, can you send somebody to my brothers and tell them that they don't come to this place? And God said, no, they've got the prophets, Abraham, the prophets. If they won't hear them, they won't listen. Though somebody rose from the dead, do you want to tell them? You see, there was a time and it was over. Noah saw the end. He saw the world destroyed. But last, Noah inherited from God. Noah inherited from God. He says, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Titus 3 verse 7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. James 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath God not chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised them to them that love him? Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, so if we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Be an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I've always wished I had a rich uncle. Did you? Maybe somebody I didn't know about. It's worth multiplied millions of dollars. And he'd been quietly watching my life and would, in his last will and testament, make me heir to a great estate in Europe. Millions of pounds. I don't know if I want to in Europe or not. Anyway, but that's not going to happen. I did have an uncle who was worth millions. He died, didn't get a dime. But we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Noah was heir, he tells us, of the righteousness which is lived by faith. How did he become an heir of that righteousness? He trusted the Messiah who would come. He became heir because he knew, I'm sure that Noah knew about what happened in the garden. I'm sure that he knew that God came and told in Genesis 3:15 that a Messiah would come and crush the head of the serpent. I'm sure he knew that Adam and Eve and Enoch and others down through the generations had looked forward to the Messiah come, trusting in their eternity where the Messiah would come. And Noah looked to the Jehovah God as well, trusted him, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So let me ask you just a couple questions. How was your walk? We looked at Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. I wonder, could they put our name in there? Do we walk with God? Or do we sometimes walk in opposition to God? What are you building? What are you building? You know, we can build boats and we can build buildings. And, you know, I worked construction down in Michigan for a few years before I went to Bible college. And some of the buildings I built have already been torn down. Built them back in the 70s and they're already gone. Are we building lives? Are we by our life, by our example, by our witness, by our testimony? Are we building the next generation for the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I'm sure Noah, as he built that boat, thought a lot about his three sons. Maybe he watched them as they carried beams and put them in place and sawed and hammered. He watched them and thought to himself, boys, I'm doing this all for you. I'm an old man, but I'm doing this for you and for your future. Do you have an inheritance? Again, it says Noah was heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Do you know that righteousness is available to you?
Yes,
Scripture says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That we might partake of his righteousness. How do we do that? By trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's been God's plan from the time of Adam and will be until the days of eternity. That men and women and boys and girls look to Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior. How's your walk? What are you building? Do you have an inheritance? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.